glad to have you with us on An Uplifting Word. Dolores and I want to share with you today from God's Word a message entitled, When Jesus Talks About You. When Jesus Talks About You. Saul persecuted the church ruthlessly. He hated Jesus and Christians. He couldn't stand anything to do with this new, what he considered, sect. So he tried his best to destroy the church, constantly breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. But the Lord appeared to Saul. Saul gave his life to Jesus and said, Jesus, what do you want me to do? A complete instantaneous turnaround in this former persecutor of the church. Well, Saul was blinded by the tremendous light that appeared around him when Jesus appeared to him. He went into Damascus. The Bible says the people had to lead him by the hand into Damascus. And for 3 days, he didn't eat or drink. And then, during this 3-day period, the Lord spoke to a disciple, an older brother named Ananias, this Christian Jew named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision. And the Lord said, Go and ask for a man named Saul. And then Ananias responded, Lord, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your people. You see, Ananias was saying, Jesus, I don't know about going to this guy. I've heard about his participation in Saul's death. I've heard about his arresting your people. And even now, Jesus, he has come here to Damascus with authority to arrest your people. Well, Ananias was talking about Saul in a very negative way. Now, it's true. Everything Ananias said about Saul was true. But he didn't know what Jesus knew. So, Jesus spoke to Ananias, This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name to humanity. Jesus talked about Saul in a way very different than the way Ananias spoke of him. And so one day, as I read this story, it came to me that Jesus thinks of us differently than we think of ourselves, and he talks about us differently than we often talk about ourselves. So let's get the word now. When Jesus talks about you, he speaks only about your potential. We so often speak about our failures, our weaknesses, our inabilities. But whenever Jesus talks about us, he talks only about our potential. You see, Ananias talks only about the visible. He spoke to Jesus and said, Jesus, let me tell you what I know about this guy. But Ananias only talked about what he could see with his eyes and hear with his ears. D, would you read for us? Acts 9, verse 13 and 14.
Lord, Ananias answered, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name.
Ananias talked only about the visible. But Jesus, in his answer to Ananias, spoke only about the invisible. He spoke only about Saul's potential. Let's read what Jesus said, Acts 9:15.
The Lord said to Ananias, Go, this man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel.
Jesus spoke so differently than Ananias. He saw this persecutor of the church as capable of being developed into a great apostle. Jesus spoke only about Saul's possibilities, whereas Ananias spoke only about Saul's ruthless behavior. So you see, my brother, sister, Jesus is not running you down. He is not belittling you. He doesn't think badly of you. You see, faith in his heavenly Father's abilities controlled Jesus' thoughts and words. Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, was so confident that his heavenly Father could make a mighty apostle out of Saul that he spoke only positively of Saul. But did you know in heaven right now, Jesus, the Bible says, is praying for you. He's calling your name out to Heavenly Father. He's interceding against the devil and everything the devil talks about you and says about you. Because Jesus sees your invisible potential. In fact, we're going to read a brief passage from Romans chapter 4, verse 17. Number 7, this tells you about what God is like, how he thinks, and how he envisions the future, it says.
God calls things that are not as though they were.
Isn't that grand? God talks about things that don't exist as if they do exist. So that's why Jesus spoke only of Saul's potential, and that's why he speaks only of your potential. Your good future. He's predicting better than the best and more than the most for you. It's just the way he is. This is the 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse number 7.
The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.
So, brother, sister, you should look at what you are inside. You should not be recounting your failures and in your memory coming up with this long list of your struggles, of your inabilities. You probably have done 98% of the things in your life correctly, only 2% incorrectly. But the human mind is so negative, it wants to keep us focused on the 2% instead of 98% of victories. So 1 Samuel 16:7. I think it's worth rereading, please be.
The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.
That's what you do, brother, sister. Look at others through the eyes of the Lord. God looks at the inner. Man looks at the outer. So confidence in God's capability to develop his plan transformed the unthinkable into the possible. Confidence in God's abilities to develop his plan for Saul transformed the unthinkable into the possible. Nobody believed in Saul. It was unthinkable to predict that this ruthless, violent, very angry man could ever preach in favor of Jesus. It was totally unthinkable. But God saw it as possible. He saw that this persecutor could actually become a preacher and a writer of Christian books that have blessed the church and all of humanity for 2,000 years. God saw the possibilities. Ananias couldn't see any possibility. So, brother, sister, let's let God transform the way we think about ourselves and about others. In fact, I'm going to ask Dee to find in her Bible Romans chapter number 12 in verse number 2. We're going to apply this verse to you and me. The first part of the verse tells us,
do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
There it is. Don't conform to the way the world thinks, and the world sees only the visible. But it says, be transformed by how? By the renewing of your mind. The remaking, the reshaping, the remolding of your mind to think like God thinks. So, Jesus wants to transform our mentality. That's exactly what he did. And this man whose book of Romans and Corinthians and Galatians and Ephesians and Philippians have blessed us and strengthened us and contributed to our walk with Jesus. Listen to these words. Now, here's the way a man of God thought. Here's the way he thought about Christians who were struggling. We're going to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24. Here it says,
the one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it.
Instead of being negative, instead of berating the Thessalonians, he said, the God who called you into the family of the Lord is faithful, and he will do it. He will do his plan. He will complete his purposes in your life. So, brother, sister, when Jesus talks about us, he talks only about our possibilities, our potentials. So, start thinking about yourself in a brand new way. Secondly, when Jesus talks about us, he predicts our victory over suffering. He predicts our victory over suffering. And nobody likes suffering. We don't go out and buy a pound of suffering. We don't go purposefully looking for suffering. But inevitably, life brings some suffering to all of us. Let's read about the righteous person. Psalm 34, verse number 19.
A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all.
Did you hear that? A righteous person may have many troubles. We often think that righteous people will be delivered from all trouble, but no, the Scripture doesn't teach that at all. Nobody likes suffering. But it comes in various forms. It comes through persecution for our faith. It comes from illness or other people's mistakes. No matter what causes the suffering, it's going to come. But regardless of the cause, Jesus predicts your victory over suffering. That's what he did for the Apostle Paul. Whenever he was talking about Saul, he said, I am going to show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Jesus wasn't predicting mere suffering. No, he was predicting victory over suffering. Victory in the face of suffering. Victory in spite of suffering. Well, listen to what he said about you and me. Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, verse number 19.
I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you.
He says, I give you power to tread upon snakes and scorpions. Nothing is going to harm you. So you see, he didn't say we wouldn't face the devil. He simply said, I'm going to give you victory over him. Nothing's going to harm you. Nothing's going to hurt you. Nothing's going to prevent my plan for you from coming to pass. So he's predicting our victories over suffering. This is Isaiah 41, verse number 10.
Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand.
There it is. He's going to uphold us, strengthen us. So he says, don't fear and don't be dismayed. Now that word dismayed comes from a Hebrew word that means to look around wildly or panicky, as if we're grasping for straws. God said, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. So, brother, sister, if you are looking around wildly, if you are panicking in suffering, stop it. Jesus said, you will overcome. This is the Proverbs chapter 12, verse number 21.
No harm befalls the righteous.
No harm befalls the righteous. Yes, we hurt, but we will not be harmed by our sufferings. God never promised pain-free suffering. I mean, I don't think it's possible. Pain just goes along with suffering. But what did he promise? He promised that Christ-like endurance of suffering would deepen our relationship with the Lord. Christ-like endurance of suffering will deepen our relationship with the Lord. That's his promise. So he didn't promise Saul a bed of roses. He said, I'm going to show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake, because he intended through the suffering to bring Saul into an intimate relationship with God. Saul enjoyed intimacy with Jesus as a direct result of endurance of suffering. So, brother, sister, when Jesus talks about you, he's talking about your potentials, your abilities. He's talking about your future as if you are headed for more than the most and better than the best. And you are. Now, there might be some difficulties along the way, some roadblocks and obstacles, some disappointment in yourself, disappointment in others. But all of this suffering will increase and deepen our relationship with God. That's what all of this is about. Brother, sister, this life is not about this life. We're going to be here for a while, and then we're going to enter into the next phase of our life, the eternal phase. This life is a dressing room, preparing us to step out of these bodies and into the next age, and then eventually into our resurrected body. So, brother, sister, the most important thing during this life is our walk with Jesus. We want to become expert at loving Jesus. That's all there is to it. That is our goal. Let's not be distracted from God's primary purpose for all of us. His primary purpose is stated in Luke, in Matthew, and in Mark. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. So you see, the first and greatest command is loving God. That's what everything that happens to us in life is all about. So Jesus wants our love. That's why he sometimes allows suffering and pain to come our way. Let's listen to Paul's words. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 9.
He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me.
Here Saul declared, I will boast of my weaknesses, not my revival crusades, not the number of people who were saved, not the number of churches I have built. I will boast of my weaknesses so that Christ's power may dwell on me. He valued his walk with Jesus above everything else. Nothing meant anything except intimacy with Jesus. So, brother, sister, please, God knows what he's doing in your life. I know it's not a bit of fun to hurt physically, emotionally, spiritually, financially, or any other way. But God knows what he's doing. And he's predicting that through this suffering, and because of this suffering, you will know him and he will know you. Paul's victory over suffering? Well, it's this. He allowed suffering to tear away everything that interfered with loving Jesus. He allowed suffering to tear away from his life everything that interfered with loving Jesus. It's worth it all to walk with Jesus. Listen to the apostles' words. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 10.
That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. But when I am weak, then I am strong.
There he is again, delighting in things we never would delight in. He delights in persecutions, in insults, in weakness, so that he might be able to walk with Jesus. And Jesus tells you, he predicts for you that he's going to support you. And that all the good times of life are going to help you love him more. All the bad times of life are going to help you love him more. All the pleasant times and all the unpleasant times are going to contribute to your love for Jesus. You know, lots of Christians worry about what you should wear to church. I know I was in one church and the pastor talked more about the fact that I wore a tie to church than he did about Jesus. Brother, sister, our dress doesn't matter. The kind of music doesn't matter. The thing that matters is loving Jesus. That's the core of God's purpose for our life. Let's keep focused on that. So, Jesus, when he talks about us, speaks about our potential, and predicts our victory over suffering, because our victories over suffering are going to help us love him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength. You know, at the time I was going through many trials that I've experienced, I didn't like them at all. Sometimes I just wanted to run away from them. But now that I've been through them, and looking back over the trials of life, I praise God and I thank God because he knew what he was doing. He knew I could become victorious. He knew that my suffering created endurance in me so that I would persevere in my love for Jesus. At one time in my early Christian life, I blamed God for this and that. I found fault with him. But in all that was going on, he was preparing me for a closer walk with Jesus than I'd ever known before. So true, he predicted suffering for Saul, but he also predicted victory. Same way with you. So brother, sister, when you talk about yourself to yourself, speak like Jesus speaks. When you talk to yourself about yourself, speak like Jesus speaks. Don't allow your imagination to run wild and find all kinds of turmoil and panicky, terrible times ahead for yourself. Don't do that. Don't allow your imagination to speak to you and say God is against you, God is disappointed in you, or God is through with you. Don't allow any of those thoughts into your mind. When you talk to yourself about yourself, speak like Jesus speaks. And you find how Jesus speaks about you in the Word. Let's listen to the apostles' words. These are words most of us are acquainted with. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 13.
I can do everything through Him who gives me strength.
There it is. Those are the words you should be speaking to yourself whenever you speak about yourself. We all talk to ourselves in our minds, in our thoughts. We talk to ourselves about ourselves. Well, we want to conform our thoughts to God's ideas and His ideas in the Word. So, Brother Paul wrote, I can do everything through Christ. I can endure suffering and be victorious. I can become everything He planned for me to become. I will make it. I can walk closer to Jesus than I've ever walked. I can love Him more than I've ever loved Him. I can overcome my disappointment in myself and in others. I can become expert at loving Jesus. Why don't we pray now? And let's determine to talk to ourselves the way Jesus talks about us. Jesus, we love You. We thank You for Your Word. And God, we determine that we're going to actually change the way we think about ourselves. And we're going to change the way we talk about ourselves. We're going to conform our thoughts to You. We're going to be renewed in our mind. O Lord Jesus, thank You for victory. In Your wonderful name, amen.